Hare Krishna. Before I commence to give this lecture, I would like to tell you the only joke I really know. Please move forward. It is a very philosophical joke which has a very subtle point that is overlooking the obvious. What is it in us that makes us overlook that Krishna is in the holy name and that Krishna is our friend who wishes to reveal himself? Nasruddin comes on a donkey to the toll station that separates Turkey and Persia, and he is totally frustrated. He says, "I'm smuggling. I'm such a sinful person. I should be a good Sufi teacher, but I'm smuggling." So the toll officers asked him, "What are you smuggling, Nasruddin?" "That's your job to find out." So they search him, but after a thorough search, they can't find anything. No hashish, no this, no this. There's only the donkey, skinny donkey. There's a little basket of grass on the behind Nasruddin, and then Nasruddin sits there. "You may go, you may go." So after months, Nasruddin comes again. A rinky-dinky donkey, a basket of straw for eating. And Nasruddin, "I'm smuggling. I'm so sinful, I'm smuggling." "What are you smuggling, Nasruddin?" "It's not my job to tell you. You have to find this out. That's why you're paid." So they get him from the donkey. They boil his wooden dress. You know, he's a Sufi, he's clad in woolen, long type of ankle-reaching dress. Nothing is there. Say, "Nasruddin, you are a little bit crazy, no? You may go." Every month the same scenario. Nasruddin, totally frustrated with himself, cursing himself, comes and says he's smuggling. And every month they try everything to find out. They make him vomit. They make the donkey vomit. If something is in the stomach, nothing is there. What they notice, however, is that next to the border, a palatial building, the building of Nasruddin, is coming up. So after 50 years, one morning, one toll officer meets Nasruddin and says, "Nasruddin, I'm no longer working in the toll office. I'm just interested. Did you smuggle something?" You came every month and you claimed to smuggle, and we tried to find out what it was by all our means. And we didn't find anything, but we could see that your house was increasing and becoming a palace. Some way you must have made money. Did you smuggle something?" "Yes, I smuggled," said Nasruddin. "What did you smuggle?" Nasruddin leans forward and says, "Donkeys." He was coming every month with a donkey, went into Persia, sold the donkey, came back by foot, then purchased another donkey, came after 1 month with a new donkey, not the same, over the border, sold it for large profits. Persia has a lack of donkeys. And in this way, he amassed a fortune. But they couldn't see the donkey before their eyes, the new donkey. They could not see because they were captured in a mindset that he is with the same donkey, he is a poor Sufi. He brings the same donkey. Why should he change donkeys, you know? Are we not all caught in a similar mindset? What do you think does the word conditioned soul means, or jiva, bada, bound soul? So keep this story in mind, you will need it to catch the most overlooked thing in your spiritual life. Please repeat after me. Brahmana uvacha. Katvam kasya siko vayam. Shayano yasya shochasi. Janasi kim sakayam mang. Enagre vichachata. Brahmana uvacha. Katvam kasya siko vayam. Shayano yasya shochasi. Janasi kim sakayam mam. Enagre vichachata. Please allow me to just immediately go to the translation. For time reasons, we need to we work in limited time here. I must give you the context before I give the text. Vaidabi, who served her husband faithfully in the forest, came one morning to massage her exalted husband's lotus feet. That was her custom. But when she touched Mala Yajvaja's feet, she felt they were cold. And when she looked into the face of her husband, trying to find out why, she could see that he had left his body in a perfect yogic trance. He was still sitting there. She lamented. She was beating her chest in utter agony. The one who gave meaning to her life, the one who had guided her in her spiritual development, the one in whom she had placed all her faith to bring her back to God, had disappeared, had left the body. She was all alone in the forest. There was no nearby settlement, no merchants who came by the forest roads. She was all alone in utter loneliness. How would she survive this grief? She knew what to do. She went to the forest and gathered dry wood to build a funeral pyre. And then somehow, sobbing and crying, stumbling and wailing, she pulled the body of her husband on the funeral pyre and was just about to ignite the funeral fire and immolate, you know, burn herself together with her husband when the branches of the trees parted and a brahmana came out of the thick undergrowth. He was somewhat effulgent, and he went right to Vaidabi and without previous introduction addressed her. We have chanted the Sanskrit address, now the English. The brahmana inquired as follows: "Who are you? Whose wife or daughter are you? Who is the man lying here? It appears you are lamenting for this dead body. But is he the body? And don't you recognize me?" Vaidabi looked at the brahmana. He looked trustworthy, but she didn't know him. At least it seemed so. "Don't you recognize me? I'm your eternal friend. You may remember that many times in the past you have consulted me." She was looking. Very touching how it continues, you will see. The brahmana continued, "My dear friend," he noticed that Vaidabi was flabbergasted, you know, on there's an English word for this, plucked, non-plucked or something. "My dear friend, even though you cannot immediately recognize me, can't you remember that in the past you had a very intimate friend? Unfortunately, you gave up my company and accepted a position as enjoyer of this material world." So as this mysterious, unknown person spoke, Vaidabi felt as if a fog that had shrouded her soul, covered her soul, was gently disappearing and lifting. And the brahmana speaks on, "My dear gentle friend, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart." Same heart. "Which is just like the Manasa Lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home." Purport. The original home of the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, both the Lord and the living entities live together very peacefully. Since the living entity remains engaged in the service of the Lord, there in the spiritual world, they both share a blissful life in the spiritual world. However, when the living entity wants to enjoy himself, he falls down into the material world. And now please listen, this is a key sentence for your understanding. "But even while he is in that position in the material world, the Lord remains with him as the super soul, Paramatma, yes, his intimate friend. Because of his forgetfulness, the living entity does not know that the Supreme Lord is accompanying him as the super soul. In this way, the living entity remains conditioned in each and every millennium. Although the Lord follows him as a friend, the living entity, because of forgetful material existence, does not recognize him. So let's get this clear. We are originally with the Lord, then a desire comes up to enjoy a little on our own, and the Lord provides us a place where that is possible. In the spiritual world, he is the center of all existence. In the material world, he is the hidden center of everything. He keeps himself hidden. He goes into the heart of the living being and accompanies him as the Sanskrit word is agya. One moment, I'm having a sakayam, the friend, but there is also avigyata, yeah, avigyata sakayam, the unknown friend. He is the unknown friend to most of us, but he's there waiting. After I heard this, read this, translated this many times, I decided to make a bold experiment. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatyare Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hiranyaka Gadadhara Sivasadi Govardhana Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. At that time in our movement, devotees said, you must look at this movie. And I looked at it. It's called Flatliner. It's where a doctor with his friends make bold experiments. They stop their heartbeat and then they enter, they leave the body for a short time and they enter into an in-between state where they are confronted with their karma. And then by the help of the doctor, the heart is reanimated and again they go and they talk about their experience from life after this life, you know, where they experience. That was the movie. It's a Hollywood dramatic thing, and most probably you wouldn't enjoy the movie because it's different than what you see. It's very slow and thoughtful and so on. Sorry, what to do? We come from North Germany. We have a rough vein in us. So I needed to go to the hospital for a surgery. It was at that time hernia, and I read this before I before in the morning. So I went to a devotee couple who lived nearby the hospital. We had an evening program, and I went to bed and I had a dream of a lake, and on the lake there was a big swan and a small swan. And at one stage the big swan spread its wings and started to, you know, fly, and the small swan, full with faith, followed the big swan, and they went high into the air. That was the dream. And when I woke up, I said, I read this somewhere. And I found this verse. We, my dear gentle friend, the Lord speaks, both you and I are exactly like two swans. We live together in the same heart, which is just like the Manasa Lake. Although we have been living together for many thousands of years, we are still far away from our original home. Wow. Fast forward. I'm lying on the... I'm prepared for the surgery. I'm lying on a rollable... It's not a table, it's, you know, like a stretcher. And the anesthetist, who's well known, to, not well, but who's known to me, I had preached to her, this is a doctor, is a friend of Bhananandini, good friend, says, so now, Swamiji, we will put the anesthesia in your veins, you will go out completely, and I urge you, go out with a pleasant thought. Think of something very pleasant. And I said, well, this is the time for me now. No one is around. No GBC. I'm going to do it. And I envisioned there's a lake which represents my heart. This is a Bhagavatam text. And there is the Lord in the heart, who is known as Paramahamsa, the supreme swan, like super soul. No? And there's me, the small living entity, represented by a much smaller swan. So let me keep the, and they will start to fly now. So let me keep this image, and already it started. I was out, but the image remained. It was the most beautiful surgery I ever had. You're laughing, but it was ecstatic, you know. When I woke up, all I knew is, we were flying. My friend had been there and was at my side while the surgeon operated on me. And when I woke up, I was in absolute bliss. Some say that the anesthetist said yes, because we gave you something, you know, we gave you, it's not exactly a drug, but it is a medical something. So some say this. I think I was very blissful all the time, knowing that Krishna is really with me. That he is there, that he is not a faraway God, an abstract God, covered in pages of theoretical philosophy, but that he is, like the Mundaka Upanishad says, Sajuyo Sakayu, It means the friend Saka, who is just sitting with me in the heart. He's with me all the time. So that you have faith in this understanding, you need to hear from Prabhupada. He says on this point, it's five. We have projected this for you. The Lord is so friendly to the living entity that he remains within the heart, so that one can always contact him without difficulty. Have you taken note of this? Should I read it again? Because it's a key thing. The Lord is so friendly to the living entity that he remains within the heart, so that one can always contact him without difficulty. If you want to find this statement, you can please look it up in the Bhagavatam 7.7.38. There's a beautiful purport, by the way. 7.7.38. Good. My dear devotees, this is the often overlooked fact of life. This is overlooking the obvious. Forgetting this is the cause of so many entanglements, so many wrong decisions, so much worries, and so much non-blissfulness. Why is this happening, that we don't see the obvious? Please look at this beautiful mirror. You all have seen my mirror this morning. When you brushed your teeth, you most probably were shocked by your tired face, which looked from the mirror. A mirror, originally, is a transparent glass. But it loses its transparency when it is sprayed in the background with a thin silver lining. And at that time, the transparent glass is losing its transparency. You cannot look any longer through it. All you see when you look into this glass, like here, when I look like this, I don't see you any longer. All I see is an aging old face looking a little tired. But I can't see the reality. Yes, I admit here is something, but even if we take this something out, you can't see through a mirror. You understand? Once our consciousness becomes dusted over with material desires, material impressions, we can't see the obvious. We can't see the reality. We can't see it, even if we want to see it. We just can't see it. Because all we see is us and our troubled mind. Why is it troubled? Because it is, we look for love and we just can't find it in this world. We find semblances, but not the ecstatic love of Godhead. No. Removing the dust of desires, the dust of selfish activities from the surface of our mind. That's the idea of chanting the holy name. In the first verse of the Shikshastakam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brings this subject right before our eyes. Please chant with me. Chaturdhara Panama Janam Bhava Madhavagni Nivapanam Shreya Kairava Chandika Vitaranam Vitya Vadurivanam Anandam Budivadanam Pratipadam Punamritasvaranam Sarvatmasnapanam Vijayate Krishna Sankirtanam. Virachandra Goswami, he is not the son of Nityananda. He explains, he is a very well-known commentator from the 16th century. The consciousness is a mirror, because it can show a reflection of Bhagavan's form, who is closest to the heart. But due to avidya, it is now dirty. However, sankirtan, which is like the purifying Ganga jal, means water of the Ganga, or a clean cloth, can purify it. So here it's a little bit different. Here the mirror example is used, that this can show you Krishna, who is closest to the heart, but if it is covered with dirt, it cannot show you. You might say, no Maharaji, Krishna is closest to the heart. I don't experience this. I experience my material desires being closest to my heart. I think of them. I already have a plan what I do after this holy name immersion, which you won't like. Maharaj, so don't tell me that Krishna is closest to my heart. It's a pure, that's my desires. But another commentator addresses this point. He says, Krishna and his entire abode are all pervasive, they're everywhere, and are the closest entity to the consciousness of the jiva. One may doubt material tendencies are also there, and they are closest. The answer to this doubt is no. Krishna is the closest, and all other material entities, like desires, inclinations, tendencies, conditionings, complexes, everything. No, Krishna is the closest, and all other material entities are not as close. And if one engages in, now he underlines it, repeated chanting of the holy name, Krishna's all-pervasive reflection will block material tendencies, and thus they will not be reflected in the cleansed mirror of consciousness. So, if you repeatedly, not one time, again and again, in the proper mood, do Harinam Sankirtan, at that time the holy names will come between you and the material desires, and you will be able to, now where your consciousness is clean, perceive Krishna's presence in your life. All devotees who chant Krishna's holy name have seen that, the beginning at least of that. The beginning of that is in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are these symptoms of bhakti, and one is Shubhada. Yes, Shubhada. It sounds a little bit like Shubi Dubi Doo. Shubi Dubi. Yeah, I'm from this generation where we know all these things. Shubhada, it gives auspiciousness, and we feel just happy. The pain of material existence goes in the distance, and we feel as if we are bright. Yes, the spiritual energy is felt, and devotees who chant look bright-faced. No, Prabhupada said this, that the hippies turn into happies. That was at his time. He made this note. Oh, my disciples were hippies, now they are happies. The spiritual presence of Krishna is felt in some ways by everyone who goes in the kirtan. But of course, there are still the material tendencies and all these things, so it must be done repeatedly, again and again and again and again, and yet one more time, again, and so on. And at that time, Krishna's presence will be felt more. Krishna loves the living entity always, although the living entity has turned away from him. He has not become tired of loving us. In this way, his love can be compared to that of a mother. I talked yesterday to a mother who is here. She is in her 7th month of pregnancy, and she described to me that when there is kirtan, the child begins to kick happily. I think yesterday when Amala Harinam sang so beautifully and Nadia Mani sang so exquisitely, I think the baby must have kicked more. Yes, I want to dance! And so on. But what I noticed when the mother talked about the baby, there was so much love, and she was touching the little thing in the womb and patting. Yes, I'm here, and we are fully prepared. We have a good bed for you, you know, and so on. The mother loves her baby even before she can see the baby and interact with the baby. She loves the baby even when the baby's in the womb. She pets the baby, speaks to the baby. By the way, that's very good for you, all of you who are becoming mothers in the future. Start your communication very early with the baby. Sing for the baby, and so on. This will be very good. Then for a good number of months, the child is absolutely dependent on the baby and can't do much for the baby. It can't even speak the language. Can't do much for the mother, I wanted to say. The baby is just helpless and is dependent on the mother's presence in many, many ways to feed the baby, to protect the baby from harm. And the baby cannot respond much. He can look at the mother and try to recognize the mother, and so on. But still, even though the baby does nothing for the mother, the mother continues to love the baby unconditionally. Even when the child leaves home and turns into a criminal. Yes, I have seen with my own eyes. The mother will love the child always. This is closest to how Krishna in the heart loves the soul. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a very interesting observation about the unconditional love, slide 6, of the Lord, which he feels for us. He says, others may be grateful for gifts that have already been given. I am different. I'm grateful for gifts that will be given in the future and reciprocate with these gifts even before they have been given. The mother also knows the baby in the future. He will speak to me and say, "Mother," and my heart will melt when the baby tells me, and so on. So this will happen in the future. Now the child can only go Rebbe, 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 and very loud, and so on. So Krishna also knows. Now we may not be able to do much for him, but he's grateful for what we will eventually, after purifying our heart, do for him in the future. But he reciprocates already now. Should we read this again? Others may be grateful for gifts that have already been given, but I am grateful for gifts that will be given in the future, and I reciprocate with these gifts even before they have been given. You can find this in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse 35 in the commentary to this. But there is a problem with us. The problem is we may have so many words from the scriptures. We may have a pure devotee like Prabhupada telling us his experience. We may feel that Krishna in the past has arranged things for me, has given me just what I needed at the particular moment. We may be with devotees who are telling us in glowing words about Krishna's kindness, but we somehow are creating a covering over our heart, and in this way we are our own worst enemies who make this covering and who as a result suffer so much. I was very happy when during the guided japa session Achyuta Gopi gave us a very beautiful meditation. She said that for many years she had been actively trying to purify her heart, and she compared this with sweeping a house or making a house habitable. But she said, "I'd never thought what would happen if the guest actually comes." And she encouraged us to take Prabhupada a little bit more serious, that when we chant, Krishna is immediately there. Prabhupada says this also in a different way in 7.7.38, that's the verse you've written down. As soon as one hears of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says Krishna Kirtan, in Krishna Kirtan, one immediately comes in touch with the Lord. Once Bhakti Charu Maharaj asked Srila Prabhupada, the Paramatma in the heart, in the heart, is that the four, that's the four-armed Vishnu form, no? And Prabhupada answered, not for the devotee who worships Krishna. For the devotee, it is Tribhanga Krishna, the threefold bending form of Krishna. And that is also explained by Bhaktisiddhanta in the Brahma Samhita verse, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. When your eyes are smeared with the balm of love, you see Krishna, and he says, for the devotee, he says Krishna, Mulidara Krishna, Mulidara Krishna, Tribhanga Krishna, 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 Krishna. So yes, my dear devotees, my suggestion for you is, why don't you theoretically believe it? As I said, I was in a conference where was discussed, when can healing take place? And three items were mentioned. The patient expects healing to take place. The patient attaches meaning to the healing. I think surgery is the best placebo which is there, because you think it will help. And when the doctor wants to help you. And an example was given. The Harvard University, the part of complementary medicine, made a study for 3 weeks. They gave out pills that had no active medical ingredients. There was cellulose pills. And said, this is a placebo we are giving you. Try it out. It has been shown, there are many, many studies now, that sometimes they help. So there was a lady who was very, very sick. She was so sick, she couldn't leave her house because she would immediately, you know, she had that irritable bowel syndrome, you know. She would make herself dirty, in other words. So she went as her last thing, and the doctor gave her this medicine and said, you know, you just have to believe in it, that it will heal, and in many cases that heals, because such a belief will activate the self-healing potencies within the body, self-regulation, and so on. So she did it. And after 4 days, the symptoms of irritable bowel disappeared totally. She could walk, talk, meet friends, go. And then the study was over after 3 weeks, and she came on 3 weeks one day and said, can I please have the medicine again? The doctor said, no, the study is only for 3 weeks. But it helped so much. I can't give you the medicine because it's against the law. You know, this was a limited study. So she, in her desperation, she went to an apotheker, and on the way already all the symptoms appeared and the car became dirty and everything. But the apotheker pharmacy didn't have any placebo medicine, any medicine without anything. So she suffered terrible at home, but then she made another walk to an apotheker, or drove to an apotheker. She had diapers on, and she asked, just give me anything that looks like that pill which I took. And they gave something, and again the same thing, because she attached meaning to this, and she expected healing very desperately. The healing happened because the self-regulatory and self-healing potency of the body is amazing. Now, my dear devotees, you don't believe in Krishna. You don't believe in Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. You don't believe that Krishna is in the heart. You don't believe that he is there for you. You think, yes, later, 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 later. Maybe next life. That's why it does not work. You overlook the obvious. Like in our Nasruddin example, they didn't see that he brought new donkey, new donkey, new donkey. This is the problem, my dear devotees, and each single one of us needs to face that problem. Mm-mm. Now, there is a huge difference in my Harvard experiment, the example from the Harvard University. Krishna consciousness is not like that. There are active ingredients in the processes of devotional service. They are called Vastu Shakti, the inherent Shaktis which are there. They are Hladini, means bliss, the bliss Shakti, and the Sandini, the existence. No, was it Sandini? Yeah, Hladini and Sandini. No, Samvit, the knowledge Shakti. They are there, and you feel that already. That's why you like kirtan and say more kirtan after the kirtan. That's why you have come. Something in you told you. If we can just go a little deeper in the holy name, my life will be perfect. You have seen it. Please, 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 just be a little bit more careful to purify your mind so that you can see the obvious. If you have to continue purifying the mind, and then you will do it. And get into this joyful anticipation. That's why we chant with Ulasa. Ulasa means some inner happiness. I'm now chanting Krishna's name. Prabhupada said one comes in touch with the Lord. I'm doing this now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And as you soften up, as you relax your anxieties and your so on, you will create a space where you can be touched. There will be no longer this thing over you. With this, I have reached the end of my presentation. I'm sorry to have been a little bit tough on you, but today is your second day of the retreat. It means we are doing some more internal work. We are coming more, purifying the heart more. This is the reason we need to go a little deeper, a little under the surface. Good, my dear devotees, any questions so far on this subject? Please now don't ask how many syllables are there in the Hare Krishna mantra and so on, but on this subject. Yes, I see. Okay, these are devotees who always ask, is it a real question or a communication? It's a question, yes. Please ask your question, Shisha.
The question is on this enthusiasm you said, is how to, I will give example of this retreat, for instance, how like you could come, I know you're not, it's obviously different results, like, oh, okay, now this first day, now I sit, now I sing Jayavada Madhava, now I comes the lecture, and how is this? What are the things we have to be careful about, not to lose the sparkle? How what are the moments where we have to say, okay, now I have to be present, now I have to be careful. There are these difficult moments where the attention goes away and then
I have this problem also, yes. You have to create in your life an environment for the enthusiasm and for the attention to grow. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, when you have received the seed of Krishna consciousness, the most important is to nourish it regularly. But then, she said, this is very important, you must create also the environment for the seed to grow in. The environment for our bhakti seed to grow in, my dear devotees, is sadhu sangha, where we talk about these spiritual things. It is seva, where we do practical service for Krishna every day. We have to be careful to not slip into unacceptable behavior that colors us again. And another environment in which the seed grows is the environment of sambandha gyan, of knowing about Krishna. I would love to tell you my own experience. I have been I'm very, very active usually in my service, I must admit there was a time when I did not study the Bhagavatam regularly, and then I took part in an online course by a devotee called Gauranga Darshan, who is really a professor in the Bhagavatam. And when I heard this, it was 1.5 hours just pure Bhagavatam, verses, concepts. I understood I had missed that mental environment. To remain enthusiastic means to keep the seed which you have in your heart in a good environment. And then it can grow very, very nicely. But when you are not careful with the environment, and then that enthusiasm will be only a faint memory of the past. If I may say, Shisha was one of the most enthusiastic devotee when I met you, and I remember meeting you in Serbia, in the Serbian summer camp. My God, you were so enthusiastic and you carried yourself with so much enthusiasm. That's the beginner's enthusiasm. Now where you're older, you have to provide an environment for your life and for the Bhakti Lata Beach that is favorable. And with environment, we don't just mean a place or friends. We mean also these subtle things like seva, selfless service, like also regular sadhana, and so on. Then you will remain, then the seed will remain strong and the plant will grow up to Krishna's lotus feet. But I think in our life we need to place more importance of environment, physical and mental environment, and heart environment, all these things. Because it's such an important point, I would like to say my experience. For a long time I went to one doctor in Mumbai, Ayurvedic doctor. Once a year I did a Panchakarma treatment because my body is a little frail. And he told me that he was healing everyone. He was healing tigers in the zoo. Yes. He was healing the firemen, or what is it called? The, firefighters in, who were in 9/11 running into the building to save people from the collapsing building, and who had inhaled all this asbestos and all these very unhealthy building materials and all these toxic poisons. He was healing them, but he couldn't heal a boy from the slums of Mumbai. He had taken the boy and he had given his best. He had given free medicine, free treatment, free Ayurvedic everything, but the boy became sicker and sicker and sicker each day. After a month, was it 2 months or 3 months, he said, I'm healing everyone except for you. And you are a boy, you should be healable. The boys have more self-healing in the body. What are you doing for life? So he was a slum boy. And he told him, the slum boy, I'm working in a chemical factory. Every morning I have to jump into this broth of chemicals, you know, and these huge containers, perhaps 4 meters in diameter, and I swim, and by my swimming movement, you know, that you turn over the chemicals. He's a human spoon. India, many things are possible in India, you know, not in Europe, no? So then the doctor said, of course I can't heal you. Every day you, through the pores of your skin, these toxic chemicals are coming into you. You have to stop this. I give you money. I have a charity. You stop this. And you continue the treatment. And then the boy became happy. Most of us have an environment problem. They do the wrong things, they're with the wrong people, and more than that, that wouldn't be so bad. The mind, they have a wrong mental environment. Often they're depressed, critical, and these inner darkness, they give too much space for the inner darkness. And due to that environment problem which they create around the soul, they can't prosper quick enough. You look now very concerned. It's not so bad in your case. Don't worry. It will work. Stay and take full part in the program. At the end, Sisha, you will jump from the surgeon's table with a smile on your face and write 1,000 WhatsApp messages to your friends. Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, I would love to take more questions. I see there are more questions. There's also one of Nitai, but I want to end here. Thank you very much for listening. I want to again repeat a special new feature of the Holy Name Immersion Retreat. Those who were not there this morning, you will be surprised. It's an intensive workout offered by the Bhakti Brothers at 10:15. Yes, because we sit so long. Oof. We sit and sit and sit, and our circulation stops and stops and stops. Our gas system is activated, and so on. We have to do some workout. Hare Krishna. For those who are interested, no yoga mats are required. Just you and perhaps a dress where you are able to do jumping jacks and such things. Yeah. Hare Krishna. And then it stops at, what was it? 10:45, so that we can start punctually at 11 o'clock. Hare Krishna.